Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
First day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened.
Rise up, rise like the wind, now rise up.
That we opened worship with is called Timshel, and it's by Mumford & Sons, and it's a beautiful reflection to me on a Hebrew word, Timshel. It's found in Genesis 4:7, and for others of us, it may be more familiar from John Steinbeck's saga of the American West, East of Eden. This is how Steinbeck's character Lee describes Timshel. The Hebrew word, the word timshel, thou mayest, gives a choice. It might be the most important word in the world that says the way is open. It throws it right back on a person, for if thou mayest, it's also true that thou mayest not. So instead of making their way with the women to the tomb on the first Sunday after Jesus' death, the brothers stayed home. Thou mayest not, they said. The women rose with the day and they took spices to anoint the body of the one that they had so dearly loved. Mumford & Sons sing, "Death is at your doorstep. It'll steal your innocence, but it will not steal your substance. But you are not alone in this, and you are not alone in this. As brothers, we will stand and will hold your hand. Hold your hand." The Gospel of Luke, their version of the song might sound more like this. "Death is at your doorstep. It will steal your innocence, but it will not steal your substance. But you are not alone in this. You are not alone in this. As sisters, we will stand and will hold your hand. Hold your hand." See, Luke's gospel doesn't tell us what led the men to stay home that Sunday. But when an account that was written and also revised by men in a culture that inherently viewed women as less than men, does this, it seems like we would be wise to pay attention. Thou mayest not notice this detail, but thou mayest for good reason, especially if your co-pastor is sitting next to you. These were the exact same women who earlier in Luke's gospel had funded Jesus' ministry. They were the ones that stood at the cross at a distance, witnessing, standing under what was happening as Jesus breathed his last breath on Holy Friday. And I imagine those women were broken down and tired, as Casey just sang. But they still chose to walk it out as the sun rose that morning. They had spices and they were ready to anoint his body, which in their custom was what you would do on that second and third day after a person had passed away. So they must have expected his body to be in the tomb because they took the spices with them. And the women must have felt confident. Maybe they had like CrossFit workout style going on because they assumed that they could roll away the stone. They didn't bring someone with them to roll away the stone. They were confident that they could do this themselves. And arriving there, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. And when they went inside, they were at a loss. And we read the story on this side of Easter, but imagine the moment. Perplexed. Literally, nobody was there. And then suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. And Luke says it this way. The women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. But then the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And the truth is, they weren't looking for the living among the dead. They were looking for the dead to be dead. That's what they were showing up to do. And it would take a great deal of time to fully unpack the complicated ways that the Gospels, as we know them today, came to be written and then revised and then later canonized. And so we're not going to do that this Easter morning, but I do want you to hear this. There were various slightly different versions of Luke's Gospel that were circulating, some in the Eastern Church and some in the Western Church, okay? So what Linda shared this morning is, if you turn to any Bible in front of you or yours that you might have brought with you and look to Luke 24, this is where the story picks up, where we've just left off. I want to share it with us. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise. Then they remembered his words. In returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and then he went home amazed at what happened. So we tried to make it obvious. Did you notice the bold and the lined words in front of us on the screen? Do we do okay? Ancient manuscripts of the gospel in the East included those two lines, the ones that are bolded and underlined. But the Codex Bizet, the ancient document that we have from the West, does not include those verses. The footnotes in most every translation of the Bible are going to make this clear, like thou mayest include them or thou mayest not. So I want to invite us to hear again the accounts without those lines this time. Okay? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again? Then they remembered his words. Turning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. So does it matter which way resurrection is told? Is this the kind of Tim shell that could just like go either way? Or will our choosing, our Timshel, make a difference in the way we practice resurrection in our own lives? See, if we include the lines, notice who it is that first testifies to resurrection. It's the men in dazzling clothes that say, "He is not here, but has risen." That's the inserted line. The men come in to say that. In our day, we call this mansplaining. I don't know what they called it in the ancient world. Mansplaining. From a wise source, I'm told that it was the same word. But you can almost feel like why they would insert this in the text, right? See, in learning that the resurrection story is being told by women who lack standing, it would feel very reasonable for those of us in power or privilege to try to correct and connect some of these dots so that the story would make sense. It would come from those the world sees as believable at this moment. And while we're at it, why have resurrection story in Luke end with the women preaching to men who didn't bother to get up and then didn't bother to believe it when they heard it? Why not find a reliable guy like Peter and have him run to the tomb and then go home amazed? It's as though hearers of this story realized that only women were the initial witnesses to this resurrection moment. And to avoid becoming the laughing stock of a world where men's stories were valued over and against women's stories, Peter was written in to mansplain this whole resurrection thing. But that's the whole thing about resurrection. It's not something that makes sense with logic and reason. You don't wrap resurrection up in a bow. Because resurrection isn't something we make real by explaining it. No extra lines or revisions will answer every question that you come this morning holding. Thou mayest think so, but God mayest not. See, we have a choice as to whether we'll allow the power and the beauty, the truth, the hope of resurrection to shape our lives. Like, thou mayest go from here opening up to that, and thou mayest not. But God has already chosen. God has already chosen. See, God's love walked right out of that grave. We can know this life-changing truth because a group of women that most everybody probably thought were nobodies rose like the day, and they showed up with spices as an expression of love to the one in whom they had placed their love. And they found that love had already risen. Love was already on the loose. Death did not, and death does not, and death will not have a final word. That is our Christian resurrection story. God moves mountains, rolls away stones, brings life from death, turns shame and fear into hope and courage, makes beautiful things out of dust and ash. No mansplaining of mine will answer every question. So, may we all feel in the depths of our bodies and our souls the truth made known long ago and again this day and every day into the future, that life is restored through God on Easter. And may our choice, our Timshel, be to rise with God out of every tomb that holds us down. Amen.